presenter is Rika Bijoen, and she wants to tell us how to become yellow when we embrace beige. It's a forgotten value system. Please give her a warm welcome. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. Good morning. I'm going to sit on the stage with you today. I'm not going to stand, because if you interact with beige, you must meet beige where beige are at. And if it was a patient in a hospital that's beige, and the nurse come in from a standing position, there's no sense of caring. It is the connection and the relatedness that becomes important. So I'm sitting with you today. I would like to also apologize that I'm going to run after my presentation. My flight is leaving. I've been out of South Africa for an extended period of time. I worked with Don Beck and this American conference, and if I lecture, I lecture or speak from, I'm deeply grounded in Beckian theory and in Gravesian theory, so it's time for me to go home. And on a purple level, I am getting to become a grandmother, so I'm waiting for a baby to be born. The baby must wait until I'm finished with this presentation. So I just would like to take a very futuristic view. It's actually not that far, 2025. How old will you be if it's 2025? It's not that far away, hey. They suggest that we won't have TVs, people will triple, Apple will be delisted, domain names will disappear, we will have cell phones by 2019 on our skin, it will be projected there, cars will drive by itself. Somebody say Africa will cease to be rural. However, on the left side of the slide, stress levels increase. You can see the red parts where there's water shortage and where there's heat, it's too warm. And at the bottom, there's food shortage. So on the one hand side, we can claim that we are going to be technologically so smart. On the other hand, there's a huge amount of people in the world that have other life conditions. And if we speak about spiral dynamics, as explained by Graves and by Beck, what's most important is to remember that it's the life condition that trigger a coping mechanism in the brain, which is adaptive intelligence. So we can sit here and be very evolved. I'm not so sure that the rest of the world is necessarily there. A large part is not there. So the research that I'm speaking about have been done in all those countries. I'm not going to go into detail here. There's an academic paper that supports the presentation that I am making, and I'm sure it will be made available on the IEC's website, else I will provide that to you. So just quickly, in terms of Laubscher and what is human issues, she called the codes, don't call it that nowadays codes, the colors of spiral dynamics. He called it codes. A Laubscher call it human niches. So a niche is something that we excel at. And she says that niches embodies things like, how do I view the world? What do I see as permanent parts of my being? It's permanent, it's not that fluid. How do I see the future? What information do I select or receive to see my world? And what do I spend my time on daily? So even practitioners here, if I work in Amsterdam, we breathe the earth. I wonder if we spend most of our time breathing the earth, or is it just a practice? So the question is, what is the center of gravity, is the word that is being used in this community. So this is just a South African spread of spiral and the colors. If you work in emerging economies, as I explained with the slide of the globe, this is even more. So we have 9% beige and 65% purple and 15% red and 10% blue, which makes 99%. Then there's 1% orange, green, yellow and turquoise. So this is for us, in emerging economies, the universal leadership challenge is how to build business, how to build sustainable society, how to build wonderful ecologies, but with building blocks in your systems that have different thinking structures than you have. Let me just get to the next slide. You see, technology is sometimes interfering in page lives. So I made a terrible mistake the first time that I tried to speak about Spiral. I must just say that I took 10 years before I opened my mouth on it because I felt intimidated by the theory. I was scared of the judgmental nature. I was scared of the hierarchical nature. So I was quite concerned about that. And I was lecturing an MBA class in Botswana. And as the book suggests, the original Spiral Dynamics book suggests, I said that Bushmen, Khoi Bushmen, are the most beautiful form of beige, guys, but it's extinct, and beige is not there anymore, and the class just laughed at me because all 75 of them were Bushmen. So they asked me to tell the world they are not extinct. They just don't find their way into mainstream books because it's oral tradition and it's storytelling. I would just like to speak about the gift of beige that I think we have, we sometimes underestimate, especially if we study beige from a yellow perspective and we think that meditative practices or really getting into lying in bed for a weekend make us really beige. The healthy manifestation of beige really is where the Bushmen had the intelligence to smell leaves. They can smell water. Can you still smell water if you are left in desert? Can you survive for extended periods of time in that space? Can you make an arrow where there is poison in the point of the arrow that kills the animal, but it won't kill the human? It's intelligent. And in beige, also, Laubscher explained in her doctorate degree on Spiral that there were 26 senses. Most of us has 5 senses or maybe a 6th sense, maybe a 7th one, a 6th sense. Where's the others going, eh? So I just would like to highlight that there's gifts in beige, that we can, if we want to transcend and include and not reject, we really need to switch on our beige superpowers again. So I spoke to one of the trackers of the people there in Botswana, and I asked him, because I walked with him in the field, and we reached a stage where it was only rocky, and there were no footprints of any animals, and there were no droppings, and there wasn't grass that was bent, and he told me there was a lion here 6 hours ago. So I asked him, now, how on earth do you know that? I mean, there's no visible sign. And he told me, time bends for me. Time bends for me. So I wonder if you study your own time orientation, if you cannot maybe get in touch with that part of self where time isn't linear or managed by a clock, all future-orientated. It's so present that the presence extends into the future and into the past for a period of time. I do not necessarily want to read what a refugee is as a definition. You can see it on the slide. But I do like to tell the story of Caritas, which is the lady at the bottom, who fled from Rwanda during the Rwanda genocide. So there was terrible genocide in Rwanda in the 90s, and she was one of the people, she has a master's degree, she was one of the people that have fled. The atrocity of her story will threaten, will make you all cry. She walked past family members that have passed away and were killed viciously. Walked with a bag, and at the end, all the way from Rwanda, find herself in South Africa. 1 out of 113 people in the world is a refugee. 1 out of 113. We were 500 people at the conference. 5 of us are refugees. We have a backpack, and we are fleeing for survival. How on earth can we ask, what is my title, how do I achieve, how can I create safety, how can I be successful, how can I heal the world, whatever your question of existence is if you are fleeing. So Caritas today is a member of the business school where I lecture, she's there, but if she speaks, she says, I'm a refugee. It's present tense. It's not past tense. It's present tense. And the minute that something goes wrong, like a student complains, she collapses. She cannot deal with that. So much the beige beingness embodies her being. She doesn't even describe it in any of the other colors. And this was two decades ago that she fled. That is just an example of how it looked. I got this picture from her. They lived like that with nothing really in refugee camps. 1 out of 113 people are refugees. They are busy with fleeing. So I would like to tell the story. All these stories are academically published in the article that you can receive. The story of a lady that was schizophrenic, a light form of schizophrenia. With medicine, she could cope very, very well in life. So what happened here was her daughter met her needs, which is beige needs, from orange perspective. So the mother will say, I am hungry. The daughter, to solve the hunger of the mother, will buy a fridge full of food. The next day, the fridge will be empty because the food is being distributed to other people, and the fridge was sold for a fraction of the amount of what the original cost was. The daughter, of course, was terribly upset. How can the mother sell the fridge and then ask for food again because just the previous day she had food? She then decided to tackle the situation, the beige question of existence, by ordering food online. The mother, from a beige perspective, beige is very suspicious. Food is very important. Ask then the question, this food, where's the food coming from? There's garlic in the food and you are trying to poison me. So she gave the food away. So it didn't help for the lady to get food delivered to her mother. Then she tried to buy her mother a microwave. The mother went to the police to say that the daughter is trying to kill her with microwaves. She tried to buy her a foot massage for her feet because her feet were sore. And the mother again went to the police. You see, there's always drama in beige to say that the daughter wanted to electrocute the mother with electricity and water. Whatever the daughter tried to do was not the question of existence of the beige person. To solve that situation, the daughter had to herself embody her own beigeness to be able to have a relation with her mother, rather than trying to heal it or fix it or mend it or tackle it from an orange perspective. That won't work. You must meet a system where the system is at. I found this picture here in Sheofok on the plane, and wow, it looked very beige to me. So I see beige, the more that I look for it, after my experience in Botswana, I see it all over the space. I see it in corporate life, where a theater nurse in a hospital, a theater manager, will tell me she's totally dysfunctional, but she can manage the space of a theater quite well. The patient doesn't speak to her. They are anesthetized. Wonderful. The doctors are busy there. She don't have to speak. It's clean. So the conditions for beige is serene. She can go home without interacting with people and be dysfunctional on her own. She doesn't cook for her family. She doesn't provide those things. There's doctors in South Africa that I found when I started to look in this inquiry for beige. Doctors that specialists, and I actually do not want to say which specialists because just maybe one day you need them and then you are scared, where they are seen as world experts in the medical field, yet they stay in their car. They have an inability to, so they don't shower. They have an inability to bowl. So their practices are being run by the hospital managers to tell them, hey, you need to shower before you go and operate. You cannot go like that. So what I would like to illustrate with my examples and stories is that beige are alive and well in between us. And if we want to remember being beige, just find yourself some beige experiences, real beige experiences. This photo I took in was taken in San Francisco. A lot of beige lying around in spaces. I'm not sure who of you have seen. This was Rain Man. autistic explanation of that, where the conditions are important. The minute that those conditions are being broken, the beige person cannot function well. So the conditions around them are provide safety, provide a holding space to function, which is not so different from us if we are yellow and we want to, we inhibit our beige consciousness and we lie in bed and we curl up. The other day I was in a car accident. I wasn't so severely hurt, but I lied in bed for a week in a fetus position, unable to face life again. It was too traumatized. So that was my beige reenactment and re-embodiment. This is just a summary of all the migrants that we have, the pathologies that we sit with in beige, the beggars that we find, and 9 to 15% of the world's there, we do not even see beige. They disappear. Now, Beck says that yellow also disappears. Yellow is a system that's not seen because it doesn't play the orange thing. The ego is not there yet, totally back. It's in the spaces in between. In organizations, they do not play the blue rules. They do not do the orange things. So we must remember that Graves originally said that beige to the square equates yellow. So beige consciousness to the octave, if I speak music, is yellow. So how can we be yellow without being beige? It's impossible. So from our inquiry, this is what I find, and I do not necessarily have a lot of time to go through all of this, but by saying that family is very important, society must help. So beige have a superpower. It's manipulative. It can get money without working. And it can get you to give me money. And then if you give me money, I will just tell my sister, nobody's giving me money, you give me money too. But I have no consciousness of what money is really meaning to me. And if I just go into this here in the middle phase, touch is often avoided. So people do not like to be touched so much. They require very specific food at that stage. And there's a public display of distress. There's huge expectations of the church. The church must help. The Lord must help. The beggar have a placard saying, help. You will be saved. You will be rescued if you help me. And it's short-term conditional interactions, not long-term interactions. We all have a beige part where we can be like that. It's interesting for me how many people here at the conference told me they are deadly tired. They are challenged intellectually and challenged from a soul perspective, but deadly tired from a being perspective, which I wonder if we are not really exploring yellow consciousness in this space. This is yellow, not so different from beige, where it's about essence, about meaning, about flow, and it's about social manifestations, historical development. It's about being functional. So yellow is not an elegant system. It is an irritated system. It is a survive irritated. It's irritated because it sees the dysfunctionality in other spaces and can do little about it. It's also trying to find ego again after green, after that momentous leap. And it's not elegant finding ego. So now it must practice to integrate ego before teal is emerging again. So in yellow, it's a lonely system. It's a survival system. And if we do gestalts with this in classes or in rooms, yellow people shout from the soul, help! Because they see the dynamic of society and they can do nothing about it. There's not enough yellow consciousness. Maybe in spaces like this there are, but in the world out there. So communities of practice become very important. This is our original grave slide, and I'm almost finished with my presentation here, where he just explained, Graves explained, that you cannot be yellow if you do not integrate all the other parts of it. And he showed that after green, yellow comes, but it incorporates the coping mechanism, the coping mechanism to cope with beige conditions. And my quest to you is to, on the one hand, tackle beige from your level of consciousness, your thinking, but also find spaces where you can interact with real beige. Because both yellow and real beige are out there. You must just find them. It's lonely systems. I'm closing off with a statement of Lawrence van der Post that spent time with Carl Jung. He spent time in South Africa. He said, the Bushmen in the Kalahari Desert talk about two hungers. There's the great hunger and the little hunger. There's yellow and beige. The little hunger wants food for the belly. Beige wants food for the belly. But the great hunger, yellow, the greatest hunger of all is the hunger for meaning. There is ultimately one thing that makes human beings deeply and profoundly bitter, and that is to have to thirst upon them a life without meaning. There's nothing wrong in searching for happiness. But a far more comfort of the soul is something greater than happiness or unhappiness, and that's meaning. Because meaning transfigures all. Once what you are doing has meaning for you, it's irrelevant whether you're happy or unhappy, you are content. You are not alone in your spirit, you belong. Beige people belong with beige people. So that is where I'm going to stop. It's published in some of these books.
Thank you so much.